nice to have you here in person. Gives us an ability, if we do get some phone calls, if you don't mind, we can take those calls. 537-1350, toll free, 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. A couple of big topics we need to get to right away, and I do want to get some year-end thoughts from you at the tail end of our interview too. But net neutrality, of course, the big vote taken just yesterday, and a lot of concerns about that, a lot of things circulating out there, and some of your thoughts as to what's occurred here.
Well, first of all, I serve on the Commerce Committee that would have jurisdiction over the Federal Communications Commission, and we got to start with the premise that the vote was taken at the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, not in Congress, not in the United States Senate. And so the rules and regulations that were in place in regard to some aspects of the Internet, and particularly Internet providers, were altered in the last FCC, in which there was a Democrat chairman. Now it seems that this partisanship moves from, you know, Congress to agencies as well. But the new FCC has then generally repealed those regulations and takes us back to where we were about 3 or 4 years ago. So it's an important topic. Innovation and economic growth, job creation, the future of lots of changes in our country's economy and lots of job creation will be determined by these kind of decisions. And I think what happened yesterday at the FCC is the wake-up call. It's something that I've been saying for a long time, working with my colleagues, both Republicans and Democrats, on the Commerce Committee to put in place what the regulations should be. And the what we want to make certain, in my view, what I want to make certain is that ISP providers cannot throttle, slow down content. They can't block. And you don't want preferential treatment where those who are providing the Internet service also own the content. And so they promote their own content, and you're either slowed or blocked from other content. So we want a free and open Internet. And in my view also is that we want the lightest touch of regulation possible to achieve those goals so that innovation continues to occur in the Internet world. And so what happened at the FCC yesterday means that our efforts in the past to bring Republicans and Democrats together on a legislative fix are even more important. And so already the chairman of the committee and one of the lead Democrats on the committee have sat down to talk about how do we accomplish legislative changes. I also chair a subcommittee that is responsible for the Federal Trade Commission. They have the responsibility, they had the responsibility and continue to have the responsibility before the last FCC order, the one 3 years ago, 2 years ago, to make sure that privacy is enforced. And again, I would add to that aspect of net neutrality is none of this should change the privacy in which a person can expect when they are acquiring content on the Internet. So privacy is a significant issue in this, and we do not want lists of who uses what on the Internet to be sold and acquired and used. We know, I mean, I don't know all this stuff, but we know the Internet is used by advertisers to focus on certain individuals on the Internet based upon what they're accessing. But that does not mean today, and didn't mean before the change at the FCC or today, that those lists then are public or are available for others to use.
A lot, of course, what you're hearing if you're into knee-jerk type reactions is, you know, that's doom and gloom, and it's, you know, that there's going to be folks out there that won't be able to, and there'll be more censorship. I mean, there's all sorts of things circulating out there.
The reality is, as least the best as I understand it, and it just happened yesterday, is the FCC returned us to the way the rules were just about 3 years ago, and that's not doom and gloom. You may not like that return, but it gives us the opportunity to make a policy decision about how to balance the regulation of the Internet with open and access and with maintaining privacy.
Of course, being a journalist, I believe in free speech, very much so. But looking at the individual user,
let me say, Kathy, as an elected official, I believe in free speech. So we agree.
But, I mean, how does net neutrality really affect a person?
You know, there's lots of articles that are out there describing that, and I suppose that's yet to be seen. But again, it shouldn't be any different than it was 3 years ago. before these rules were changed, they've returned them to the original rules.
Now, on to another huge subject right now. When it comes to taxes and tax cuts, what's going on with that and some of your viewpoints as to how that's progressed?
Well, the tax bill, tax reform or tax cuts certainly is front and center in Washington, D.C. There is an expectation. I mean, what's happened so far is the House has passed a bill, the Senate's passed a bill. There's been an agreement in principle between those who are negotiating on behalf of the House and Senate to the broad outlines of what that tax bill should be. When I return to Washington, D.C., I leave Manhattan on Sunday to go back to Washington, D.C. Taxes will continue to be the debatable discussion item. And, you know, what I would say is that I do think that there is – this is where you get – can be accused of being interested in taking care of the wealthy. And what I would say is that the tax code that we have is detrimental to keeping jobs in the United States. And corporate tax rates where they are today is one of the factors that a business would make a decision about where to locate their business, where to locate a manufacturing facility. And our tax rates on the corporate side ought to be much more aligned with other countries so that the decision is not made that, well, we can't afford to be in the United States. We have a lot of other things going for us, the rule of law, quality of workforce, training and education. But the tax code is one of the features. And so I'm supportive of lowering corporate tax rates. And I believe that is not about taking care of wealthy people. It's about creating more jobs, higher paying jobs, more secure jobs. And that's where my view is that the middle class is their cause is advanced. What we all want is the American dream to be alive and well, and that means everyone has a chance to pursue their dreams, including a job that's more secure and higher paying. So we need, in my view, need to do that. That is, I suppose, controversial by those who believe that's just taking care of corporations. But corporations make decisions that affect all of us. And one of the components, factors they consider in making those decisions is how much it costs to be in business. In addition to that, we need to make certain that we don't do, this is the Kansas aspect of this, is that we want to do things in a way that learn lessons from our state. And so the tax bill includes changes in so-called pass-through organizations. They're not incorporated. It's like a limited liability company in a way that treats them similarly to what a corporation would get. So there's not a reason to be one or the other based upon the tax code, but to do it in a way in which people don't change their behavior and people who are high-income wage earners don't somehow become a limited liability company. We don't do, for example, what Kansas did, which was to eliminate the tax totally on limited liability companies. It's a reduction to make it more comparable with the corporate tax rate. And then the other topic that's huge in regard to this issue of taxes and tax changes is the debt and deficit. The debt and deficit still matter. They certainly matter to me. They have economic consequences. But I've also been engaged in, ever since I've been elected to the Senate in particular, I've been engaged in efforts working with Republicans and Democrats to try to figure out the right balance between revenue, tax revenue, and expenditures. And that's historically, traditionally, how you'd find a way to address deficits is either cut spending or raise revenue. And all those efforts have come to nothing. There is not a willingness on the part of enough people in Congress to either raise taxes or cut revenue. I said that wrong. Raise taxes or cut spending. And we saw this with the so-called Gang of Eight. There was four Republican senators and four Democrat senators when I first arrived in the United States Senate who were working to find an agreement between themselves. You saw Bull Simpson, something President Obama created a commission to study how we could structurally change so the debt and deficit was altered. Nothing came from that. One of the ways we can deal with debt and deficit is to have a growing economy. And my view is that we're poised for growth in this country. Things can get better, but we've had a regulatory and tax environment that has slowed that economic growth. And I hate using the words economic growth because it sounds like it's something academic. But what economic growth is, a solid job for more Americans.
Of course, I know there was a lot of interest here locally when it came to what the differences it may perhaps made with graduate students and that type of thing, too. Did that finally get resolved at all, or is that still sort of up in the air?
Kathy, thank you for raising that issue. I mean, it is, in my view, we should leave the individual tax code alone. When you talk about what I just said about reducing corporate rates to get better jobs, then the comeback, the pushback on that is, but you're taking away my graduate tuition to pay for that. And it's like, we shouldn't be touching those things. And so I was never an advocate. That was in the House bill. And what we're talking about here for our listeners who aren't following this is that many graduate assistants receive a tuition waiver. And the tax bill in the House took that the value of that tuition waiver and subjected it to income taxes. And while you could make a case theoretically that could make some sense, it doesn't make sense in practicality or reality. It would mean we would have a lot less number of students having the opportunity. I'm a former graduate assistant. I received a compensation for teaching a class in our days at Fort Hays when I was pursuing an MBA. And I recognize that the ability to be a graduate assistant has a lot to do with whether you can afford to do it. So I advocated that provision is not in the agreement, and so tuition waivers are diminished. In regard to lower income folks, the number of people who don't pay taxes, this would be controversial on the other side, the number of people who don't pay any income taxes at all is increased in this bill, and the standard deduction, in which means that people at higher income levels would not need to itemize their returns, so the amount that's excluded from taxation is increased. So there is efforts to try to balance what is perceived and what in some instances will be taking care of people at high incomes with folks who struggle every day. And again, I have no particular interest in being helpful to wealthy people. What I'm interested in doing is being helpful to people in a way that creates better opportunities for people in the lower and middle income classes.
So many other issues haven't even gotten to. National Defense Authorization Act, I know, fairly recent. Do we need to take a look at year-enders too, though? I mean, there's all sorts of other things we can get into today, but running a little shorter on time.
Well, the National Defense Authorization Bill is important for us because it affects what goes on at Fort Riley. It affects compensation for our soldiers, medical benefits, retirement, TRICARE. And so Senator McCain is in terribly ill health, and with brain cancer. He's at Walter Reed now. He is the chairman of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, and so there was a real concerted effort to get the National Defense Authorization Bill completed while he was capable of participating in the process. I would tell you that today, at least online, an op-ed piece written by Senator McCain and I regarding veterans and their health care is online at USA Today, and he and I are teamed up at this point in time as we're working to try to transform the Department of Veterans Affairs, particularly the healthcare side, into a much more meaningful, much more less bureaucratic, more compassionate kind of healthcare delivery system, an integrated healthcare system both within the VA and within the programs around community care.
We do have a phone call. You'll need a set of headphones to hear what our listener has to say. Welcome to In Focus with Senator Moran. Go ahead, please.
Your efforts and your willingness to have a viewpoint on items, I hope that those lobbyists in Washington don't twist your thinking. One of the things we notice out here in the national parks is they're releasing it for the oil drilling and all the different projects. Having done the Alaska pipeline and seeing what they did up at Prudhoe Bay and everything when I was up there, it sure is a concern to see them going into the heritage parks and doing the same thing. Just another item for you to think about.
Your item is timely because the tax bill, this is things that drive people crazy, frustrated, includes provisions related to oil development in Alaska. So not every provision is necessarily what you'd generally think of as a tax item. Sir, I've never been to Alaska. Sounds like you've been involved in this aspect of energy development. And if you want to call my office or send me an email, I'd be delighted to hear more about your personal perspective as to what the consequences are of additional energy development. I appreciate you calling.
Even when we were up there, you know, for the EPA to come up, they had to arrange for a bed in the man camp before they could get on the airplane. Well, that gave us time to put out where we were burning off the extra fuel and the spillage out on the tundra to put out those fires and not have that big cloud of smoke going, or to put the gravel out on the Tundra where we're going to use for a site. And then when the EPA was there, everything was, you know, butter wouldn't melt in your mouth. And then when they got back on the plane, here we go again. So, I mean,
you make me very nervous because I visit lots of things, and I wonder if what I'm seeing is something that's kind of staged for my visit as compared to what's really going on. Your point about lobbyists, and you hope they don't skew my thinking, there are certainly lots of lobbyists in Washington, D.C. Many of them represent, you know, interests that we care a lot about in Kansas. And it's they obviously have the ability to get people's attention. But what I would say is that recognizing that, I continue to have town hall meetings across Kansas, continue to come home to the state every weekend, make myself available to try to balance what I hear in Washington, D.C. Incidentally, those people are much more complimentary of me because they'll tell me how smart I am and what a great future I have. Kansans are less likely to do that. Those people are lobbyists, and they want to make me feel good. Kansans are, I recognize, much more straightforward. And I appreciate all the people who've come out as we've had opportunities across the state for a conversation about so many things that are controversial and contentious.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you for bringing yourself home. You could be down in the Caribbean somewhere enjoying one of the lobbyists. Golf courses. Well, thank you for coming here in the dead of winter.
Thank you. I'm hoping I'll be home for Christmas.
Thanks for the call. 537-1350. We're letting you go a little bit longer. There's a lot of it. As long as there's interest, we'll take calls and do appreciate that. But let's take a look at 2017. And we might have already hit some of the big issues, you know, with the net neutrality, the tax cuts. But anything that kind of stands out to you this last year?
Well, 2017, I think what I'd hoped would happen is that we'd have a less contentious, less divisive kind of political environment, that we'd see more cooperation between members of the Republican Party and Democrat Party in Congress. But I think actually politics became more volatile, more divisive, more corrosive. And in many ways, I think the Congress still reflects the nature of the country. I noticed, that just polling generally indicates that it's about, 48% on one side and 48% on the other side. What I would take from 2017 and is a hope that in 2018 that we figure out ways to be certainly civil and understanding of other people's positions, but also recognize that none of us can get our own way on everything that we want. And I would tell Kansans, we are a minority. As a rural state, the votes are on the coasts. And if you want me to be able to accomplish anything on behalf of Kansans, I have to have the ability to find opportunities to work with people who have different points of view, who have different constituencies, different philosophies. There are certain things in which there's little or no room to budge, but the vast majority of things, if we're going to accomplish anything on our behalf, require sit-down conversation and a give and take. On a big topic of 2017, we talked about taxes, and one of the points that I've been making to this administration and to my colleagues is if we lose our involvement in NAFTA, the trade agreement between Canada and the United States and Mexico, the takeaway for me is the tax rate won't matter much if Kansans lose their income, because what we do in our state is export what we grow, produce, and manufacture. So if you're a worker on an airplane in Wichita, that plane often has customers that are foreign. And if you're a farmer in Smith County, Kansas, the wheat you're growing is going to be exported. And in fact, Mexico is our number one purchaser of agriculture commodities from Kansas. If you ask me, let's just forget the rest of the world and feed the United States, my response could be, well, what 48% of acres, nearly half of the acres in our state, do you no longer want to plant? Because the produce, the product that comes from there, the commodities that are raised on that other half are sold around the globe. 99% of the mouths to feed are outside the United States. And I'm very worried that the Trump administration's intention is to withdraw from NAFTA and then hope to negotiate a better deal. And they seem to have the belief that agriculture from the United States is so important to the rest of the world, they can't do without us. And while we can certainly brag about our quality of product, Argentina, Brazil, other countries are so anxious to take our markets. We need to be very vigilant as a state, as a community, for the folks who earn their living here in our state. So taxes is important, But don't take away our income and how we earn a living.
Well, it's been a pleasure. This will be my last time to interview in this capacity, and I've enjoyed working with you, Jerry.
Kathy, it's been thank you for your professionalism and the way that you approach the news and the way you treat people who are on your program and the way you treat your callers who have questions sometimes challenging and difficult for those of us who are on the other side of the microphone. And you've exhibited what I keep asking for is let's just have a conversation in which we can might disagree at the beginning, we might disagree at the end, but in the process we can learn something from each other. And I would tell you that I think you've been a great asset to this community and to the surrounding area as you deliver the news. I am a radio listener. I listen to country music regularly, but I get my news at the top of the hour every day I'm in Kansas. And I appreciate the chance I have to learn something from those of you who've dedicated your life toward providing information to the rest of us.
Well, thank you very much. And appreciate, again, U.S. Senator Jerry Moran of Manhattan with us today. We'll take a break. Jamie Ramsey, Riley County Senior Service Center Director, and I'm sure she's patiently waiting in the lobby. Looking forward to chatting with her.
I'm sorry, Jamie.
And again, you're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.